Hey there, it's Mike Tramp, and you're listening to White Line Fever, where rock and roll is still alive like it always has been and it always will be.
So the third round of pool matches has started, and Scotland 22, United States 8. But Luke Douglas, a bit of drama before kickoff for the Scotland team.
Yeah, the hooker went down in the warm-up. We're already down a hooker with a knee problem, and poor old Benny Fisher went down. He's coming in toward the end of his career, and you know, he's really hoping to get a good performance for us, and unfortunately not able to take the paddock.
Yeah, it was going to be his last game. Well, your last game for the tournament was always going to be his last game. Were the fellas aware of it, like in the warm up and at the anthems that what had happened to him? Was it a bit of a motivating factor for everyone?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we knew. He said before the game, he said, you know, let's not make this my last one. Let's get through to the quarters and take on New Zealand. But yeah, it was the last thing in the warm up. You know, he went back, got off the line, he felt something, and yeah, it was heartbreaking for him to see him break down like that. And as we were singing the anthem, he was opposite us, and you know, he was shedding a few tears, and you know, that was a bit of motivation, and everyone was feeling for him. So you know, it was good to get that win for him.
You scored a try yourself. You got some family here watching you play. What was that like?
Yeah, it was good. I don't get many. You know, you see a little fullback in front of you. You know, I had a crack, so managed to get over the line. Yeah, I'll take it. It was good. You know, Dad's here and very proud. And good.
End of the pool stages, and Scotland haven't lost a game, but you still got to wait for Sunday's match between Italy and Tonga to find out if you progress. How are you going to deal with that? You're all going to watch a game together?
Yeah, I think we break camp. We're going to a lot of guys are over here. They're going to go back to their families, and me and Pete and a few other boys are going to keep busy. I suppose Manchester. I don't know yet what's on the cards, but yeah. Come back into camp Sunday lunchtime and watch the game together. Go Tonga.
You got any friends in the Tonga team?
Well, I know a few boys, but yeah, I'll have to get on to them. Get a win for us.
I mean, you must be pretty pleased to have come over here and not lost a game so far. You went a lot better than most people expected.
Yeah, we had that underdog tag at the start, but we knew we had the squad there, and yeah, it was really good. You know, we showed our passion and courage, and undefeated, it's not bad from World Cup.
Thanks, Luke. Happy television viewing on Sunday.
How you doing, everybody? This is Bobby Ingram with the group Molly Hatchet, and yeah, I am down under, okay? This is awesome. It's great to be here. It's great to be on your radio station. You're listening to Steve with White Line Fever Radio. Keep rocking and keep rocking Southern style.
Final round of pool matches. New Zealand 56, Papua New Guinea 10, and most people think it's all sweetness and light for the Kiwis, but Stephen Kearney, a few injuries.
Yeah, we pulled up with a couple. Obviously, Tommy Luluai, who we were hopeful that would get through tonight, and but it didn't work out so well for him. Who else are we talking? Manu Vatapai.
Manu.
He got a bump on the knee, which we rested him for last week. So we'll have to keep an eye on him early this week. And also, Josh Hoffman got a bit of a stinger, and he's. In his shoulder, but we're pretty confident with certainly with Manu and Josh that they'll be right. So we've got a pretty big 7-day break before our next game. We'll just see how they pull up.
There's a story in the Sunday papers in New Zealand about getting permission to use certain treatment on Tommy, but I take it that's all academic now. His tournament's over.
Yeah. Well, again, we'll have a sit down with the medical staff and just assess everything and see where we're at with that. And
still might be worth investigating.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, again, the reason that we played him tonight was, obviously now the stakes are pretty high now in terms of the game. So we just needed to make sure that. If Tommy had a chance, we needed to see tonight whether he would be okay, and it didn't work out so well. But we'll see how he is.
Because he sounds resigned and not playing again. Really, he just did an all-in media thing, and he doesn't sound very confident.
Yeah, I think that probably says it all. He was the one who sort of approached us, to be fair. And, spoke about the possibility of playing tonight. He thought it would be best if he did that, so it gave him a bit of confidence. He hasn't played since the last round of NRL, so and all of a sudden we're coming into some games with high stakes. He wanted to make sure that if he was going to be right, that he had some run under his belt.
You're playing some good football at the moment, aren't you, Stephen? And you're probably going to have the tougher semi-final out of yourselves and Australia, so you must be pleased with the way things are going overall.
Yeah, we're building okay. We're building okay. And again, obviously, it's a long, there's long tournaments, and when you pick up a couple of injuries here and there, and it can certainly throw things out a bit. But the lads are ticking along well. I thought the first half tonight was very good. And, we just got to make sure we improve on the areas that we need to, and make sure we bring that next Friday.
Thanks, Stephen.
Cheers. Thanks, Steve.
Back to me. don't know who I'm killing now. My enemies are friends. I'll drink away the darkness till the dawn comes around. You can take me if you want to carry on. My God is down. This home is not our home from home. This land is not for free. No matter where I work or roam, we'll bring my country back to me.
BBC Radio Manchester, Rock and Rugby League on White Line Fever.
So there were two games on Saturday. Fiji played really well, 34-12 against England. And the second game, 50-0 Australia over Ireland. And I'm being really professional because Sam Fido's shouting in the background. I'm here with Jimmy Tamo. It was 50-0, but it looked like you were focusing on the games ahead, just watching the game.
Yeah, mate, for sure. We actually had a team goal the majority of our goal being more adapted to defence. So the points sort of came, you know, when they came. We weren't too busy, too worried about that. Our main purpose for tonight was defence, and you know, they had some big boys, and not taking anything away from them. But you know, we know we've got to do a bit better if we want to go compete against the better teams.
It must feel a bit uncertain because you played England first up, you're rusty, didn't have a warm-up game, and then since then you've just been trying to get a few things right, but you still don't really know how you're going to go against the big two, do you? There's a bit of uncertainty there.
Yeah, mate, it is. You know, we watched New Zealand last night and, you know, they looked dangerous. So it's always, these games are always sort of, you know, tinkle a bit with certain things here and there. So hopefully on the day we'll get it right, and you know, we'll definitely do well.
Tell us a bit about the tournament so far, because some people will go, oh, well, the scores are starting to get a bit big, but there's tremendous camaraderie between the players, isn't there? Like, the Kiwis have been going to opposition dressing rooms after the game. I think you maybe were in the Island rooms tonight. The jersey shopping, swapping is back. Yeah. Crowds are cheering teams that are getting heavily beaten, aren't they?
That's
very different to club football.
Mate, it's I think, you know, you meet these people, that these guys got, like, we've all got respect for each other. But you meet these guys, you know, from different parts of the world, and they know who you are, and they sort of respect you in that manner. So, you know, you want to you know, do well by them, and you know, get swap jerseys or something. I was just I knew a few of the boys in the Ireland team. I was just in there having a chat. Just in there having a chat to them. So no, there's always going to be that camaraderie. Whether what happens with the field or on the field, there's always going to be that camaraderie off the field.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, mate. No worries. Cheers.
this is Michael Starr.
This is Lexi Fox.
And you're listening to White Lion Fever.
Second last day of pool matches at the World Cup. For early game saw Cook Islands get their first ever win in a World Cup match, 28-24 over Wales. And the second game was an epic battle, really, very physical, and finished 16-0 to Tonga. I'm here with Brent Kite. Brent, what can you say about that game? It had lots of twists and turns.
Yeah, for sure. I think a couple of decisions went our way, which is fortunate. But I was really impressed with the character we showed. We didn't have much to play for, just pride in the jumper, and I was really proud of my guys that they hung in there. We defended a lot of sets on our own line, and we were good enough, and together enough as a unit to keep the Italians out.
I didn't mention the team you beat. It was Italy, but the decision, I suppose, there was one try, a strip over the line. That was a big call later in the game, wasn't it?
Yes. I can't remember it.
Which one stand out in your mind that you weren't really sure which way they were going to go?
I think our front rower, Ben Terapo, who got his first crack tonight, he sort of chased down a centre there and managed to roll him over. And it looked 50-50 even on the video, but I think that was a real reward for the effort that he put in.
It was
in.
James Tedesco, I think, was it?
It could have been. They got a bit of a runaway try there, or what looked like a runaway try, and I think that was definitely one of the turning points.
Before you go, you had Andrew Fifita here and Michael Jennings, and they're in camp with another team in the World Cup, which probably hasn't happened in any World Cup in any sport before. They came down and they were wearing your gear and they were supporting you. Did they say much to the boys before the game? They weren't involved in the haka at the end, were they?
They were taking photos, and I'm sure they would have loved to be there. Yeah. They're very proud of their heritage and their Tongan side. So I thought it was an awesome gesture from Jenko and Andrew. They did manage to present a few of the jumpers. Charlie was obviously touched. We spoke a lot about this game was only really for pride, national pride, and to see that it meant so much to those guys to take time away from their own campaign to come and support us who have been knocked out of the comp was a real touching gesture on their behalf, and I think Charlie rewarded them with being able to give out the jerseys.
Now from next year, we believe the qualification rules are going to change in the NRL anyway, so you make yourself eligible for one top-tier country, Australia, New Zealand, England, and one other country, and it doesn't affect your eligibility if you play Origin or whatever. Now, I take it that it was a bit of a changing of the guard tonight with those two guys showing up, because we're going to see a bit more of that, aren't we, where guys are simultaneously, aligned with New South Wales or Queensland and also a country other than Australia.
Yeah, mate, you've got to applaud the decision makers for that sort of call, because it's only good for rugby league and definitely international rugby league. Australia and New Zealand they're spoilt for talent, and look across and Michael Jennings isn't really getting a run over there in Australia, and he would have been a massive asset to an emerging nation like Tonga. So it's
Bloody Mateo's not here.
Freddie's not here, and he's captained this side in the past, so it's only going to be good for the game. And if we're serious about getting some international fixtures that are worth watching and possibly can raise revenues for the game instead of just being a bit of a basket case as they have been, I think that's only a good thing.
Now, people outside sport, maybe people outside rugby league, will say all this country switching, it lacks credibility, and you're either Australian or you're Tongan, you can't be both. You've heard the argument, you've probably seen it on social media, you've probably thought up a really good response to it. How do you respond to it?
Oh, mate, I think even people in the game, it's rugby league's it's a cultural thing, and you pick sides and you stick with your side. You don't go from New South Wales to Queensland. But I would just say that someone that is half Tongan and half Australian, you need to be in the position to understand it's pretty much as hard to pick between your mum and your dad. My dad's Aussie, mum's Tongan, so I don't feel any sort of allegiances to more, one more than the other. It's proud to be Tongan, and I'm very proud to be Australian. So that's why I think you get the benefit of representing both, and I don't think it's a bad thing.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks for your help during the tournament and all year, and we'll see you at Penrith next year.
Good on you, mate. Catch you there.
laugh about in the whole world. No shit. Now you may notice it's a little quieter in here tonight, and you may notice there's some cameras. We are filming it tonight, everybody. So if you see a camera coming towards you, feel free to expose any bodily parts that you choose. You might not make the DVD, but you will make the dressing room for sure. All right? Mirror, mirror, just watch you with your eyes glass. Just a fault to you with something that I wanna ask. Mirror, mirror, got my fate lying in your hands. You're the fool, you're the juggler.
Hi, this is Nick Barker and you're on White Line Fever.
So the pool stages of the World Cup are finally over, and Samoa 22 beat France 6 in the very last pool game in Perpignan. I'm here with Samoa coach Matt Parrish, and Matt, it was a pretty wild old game out there, wasn't it? You had a few blokes placed on report and all sorts of things happened.
Yeah, Steve, it was a very tough game, but it's certainly nothing you wouldn't expect playing a, you know, a World Cup game in France. We knew the French would be very tough, and you know, we wanted to match their aggression, and I think we certainly did that. And, you know, it was a World Cup game, and, you know, spots were up for grabs, and, you know, I thought our blokes played really well.
Three players placed in a port, one of them twice. You worried? You worried that maybe one or more might be rubbed out for your next game?
Oh, I'm not worried about the actual incidents, but again, you're always, as a coach, you're always worried about people being placed on report. But, you know, I've had a look at all four of them. You know, three of them were for, you know, alleged late hits, but again, you know, a couple of them, where are they meant to go? They're not meant to, you know, they don't have to move. They're big men, you know, mm-hmm. and their ball players were going right to the line, and, you know, our guys hit them, you know, around the chest. They weren't shoulder charges. They were trying to tackle them, you know, and it's debatable whether any of them were late.
Mm. Now, your next game is against Fiji, so it was a good carrot, a big carrot to avoid England, really, wasn't it, in the quarterfinals?
Oh, look, I just think we wanted to win games, and we wanted to go into our next round's game winning the game. It's sort of at this stage of the competition, it doesn't, you know, really matter who you play. You've just got to get some momentum. I think we've got some momentum at the moment. And obviously, it'll be a massive game, Fiji and Samoa. But, you know, we're really looking forward to it. We'll regroup now. We're going back to Warrington, where we had a really, you know, some really good support there, and we're looking forward to playing against Fiji.
The boys wore black armbands tonight. You had a very sad occurrence in the team this week, didn't you, as far as relatives, a mother of one of the players died?
Yeah, mate, it's been tough, you know, tragic, actually. And I think the way that the guys have, you know, rallied around Panani and the way that he's held himself is a credit to all of them. And, you know, it's to lose, you know, one of your parents is, you know, again, as I said to you, Steve, it's tragic. But, you know, you have to deal with these and move on. And I think the boys have been really supportive of him. You know, we've got as much help as we can to him. And, you know, he's coping okay, which is good.
He stayed in camp, which is incredibly brave, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, mate. And, you know, it's a decision he made. Obviously, I personally thought he'd go home, but he wanted to stay. His family are very supportive of him being here, and as I said to you, mate, it's a tragic circumstances. But, you know, again, he's around his mates and his family. You know, they're all family down there at the moment. So, you know, we'll continue to support him, and hopefully, you know, we can get through this.
We'll see you in England next weekend, Matt. Thanks for talking to us.
Pleasure, Steve.
You know you need me. Hey, this is Nash Cato
and King Roser. We're Urge Overkill. You're listening to White Line Fever.
Okay, it's down to the knockout stages in the World Cup, and Scotland have been knocked out 40-4. New Zealand over Scotland. I'm here with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who scored two tries. You've got yourself and Manu Vatavoy. You've got Jason Nightingale sitting in the stand, so I suppose that puts pressure on you both to perform a little bit, doesn't it? He's a pretty handy player.
Yeah, all three of us together. And I'm pretty surprised again to getting chosen over Jason Nightingale. He's a top player, and yeah, just pretty happy to get the call.
Now, tell us, when you were in France, the team management gave you a couple of days off, took you down to Nice at their own expense. Do you think the boys benefited a lot just from being able to get their heads away from football for a couple of days?
Yeah, got away from footy, but I think the main part was getting together and bonding and just getting that team united again, and we just find that working together in the game was good.
And what about the fact that you lead up games? I mean, you haven't played Australia or England yet, so you don't really know yet about how you are in comparison to them, yep. I guess. Is it a good thing to have these games against other countries, or do you think it might have been better to have at least one sort of tougher game so far? How do you think it's going to affect the team?
I think training, and I think it all comes back to us and how we go down, and we're just going to look at what we can control, and we're just going to go back to the drawing board and do what we can to hopefully come up against these big teams.
You've made a meteoric rise, haven't you, from just playing first grade, now you're playing test footy. You're going to be playing at Wembley next week. Have you been to Wembley before? Have you even seen anything there? You've obviously seen it on television a lot.
Yeah, I've seen it on television. but yeah, never been there, and I can't wait for it.
Good on you, Roger. Have a good night.
Horizon, not stopping on the way, my riding, open my eyes.
Hello, everybody. This is Ron Bumblefoot Thaw. You might know me from Guns N' Roses or not. And you're listening, you're listening to White Line Fever.
Second quarter final, Australia 62, the United States 0. But Tim Sheen's another injury to Billy Slater. How is he?
Yeah, well, obviously it's early days. He'll go for an MRI tonight, and but it would appear a PCL injury. However, in saying that, he hasn't got a PCL on that knee that last year, so he can't have hurt it, but he has done a little bit of damage to the knee. So we're hoping it's not too bad. Would be unlikely to play this week, but we would hope that maybe the week after, if we get that far, that he'd be available.
He was a player of the tournament in the last World Cup. I mean, how late in the week of the final are you willing to wait to get a clearance on a key player like Billy Slater?
You'd always wait till the last minute, I think. The medical will tell us a little bit tonight, and then just how he recovers in the next few days will give us some sort of an idea. But in the meantime, I'll have to plan for the worst-case scenario, obviously, and try to come up with a squad next week that we would go into a final should we win it next week. That's a given at this point. I'm just going to have to make plans without him.
Two players equaled the record for tries in a test for Australia today. One of them is Jared Hayne, and he's a guy you were more or less trialling at centre, or you know, he beat two or three other fellas to the position. I mean, if Greg Inglis moves to fullback, then Jared Hayne's held his spot, and one of the other three guys comes back in, I guess.
Yeah, that would be. We would try not to make too many changes. That right edge would stay consistent, I think. They both complemented one another. They both played some footy together for New South Wales, so, and they're both big, strong and fast boys. So, and I've always had confidence that Jared would make a right centre. He's a football player and he can play, you know, wing centre or fullback. And I thought he, although again, you know, the forwards did a great job to give him room to move. But even when he had no options in that area, he still forced issues with his strength and his fend and so on. So he really brought another dimension to that side of the field with Inglis on the other side. So, however, we're losing him though, but we've got some great left centres running around. We've got three good centre options that could play left centre, and I think if we can afford to lose one player, we could have afforded to lose a centre. Or in Billy's case, obviously, if we've lost him, that GI can go back there and we can fill that centre role.
Do you think either of those fellows were aware that no one scored five tries for Australia in a test ever?
No, I don't think so. I don't think any of us were. Where's David Midland? I see him there somewhere. Should have let us know. But, that's terrific. That's a fabulous achievement. But, yeah, credit to the team. As Cameron said in the meeting, the team played really well. The forwards played really well. And we really, you know, put a lot of pressure on the United States side defensively, which turned football over for us, which gave those boys the opportunity.
So it's just a case for the semi-final against whoever your opponents are, maybe tinkering with the bench and finding someone to replace Billy Slater. Is that pretty much that's all?
That would be pretty much the story at this point.
Thanks for joining us, Tim. Congratulations.
Okay. Cheers.
Talk to me. Talk to me. Come show me what you want to be. For I've been dreaming all my life and I've not woke up from this night. Talk to me. Talk to me. Come show me what you want from me. 'Cause I've been looking all my life for someone who will make me feel.
22 from She Hard and the Adults, and you are with Steve on White Line Fever.
So the third quarter final, and it was 34-6, probably a bit closer than most people thought. England over France and here with Liam Farrell. What did you think? You just struggled to get into a rhythm, didn't you?
Yeah, we probably lacked a bit of quality. Probably a bit of respect for the opposition as well. I think we need to respect them a bit more, and we probably would have respected the ball a bit better as well. So definitely areas to improve, and you know, we'll be looking to fix them up this week.
How much of the tournament have you felt comfortable? Yeah, and you thought that England was sort of realising their potential in the game so far. Has it happened only fleetingly from your perspective, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think we're going all right, but we've obviously got areas to improve, and I think since the Aussie game, bit by bit we've probably improved them little bits, but I still think going into next week we've got quite a few areas to improve on, and definitely keeping all the ball a bit more and keeping possession. Against teams like New Zealand it's going to be a lot harder, so we've definitely got areas to improve.
At this stage of the tournament, some of the top three are playing the other countries and we're getting some big scores, and I suppose when people are trying to predict what's going to happen next weekend, they look who ran up the biggest score. I mean, what are the dangers of looking at things like that? I suppose every team's different, aren't they, and conditions are different. It's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not. Obviously, we've been playing in these conditions, you know, most of our careers, a lot of us, so we can take that onto our belts. But looking at it, I don't think you look at the scorelines too much. Whoever performs on the day, you know, whoever sticks to the game plans and keeps the ball on the right side, then, you know, they're going to have a chance of winning. And I think if we contend with New Zealand's forward packs and keep them under control, then, you know, we've got a good chance of winning.
Everyone, I'm sure, this week will be asking you and everyone else in your team, particularly your pack, about Sonny Bill Williams. How far back do you go watching him play? Are you a student of him, or you only just started watching him closely recently? Because he's probably the biggest star of this tournament, isn't he? Because he's just come back to rugby league after being in rugby union, I guess.
Yeah, everyone's talking about him. To me, yeah, he is the superstar of the game, and I've watched him since being a kid. I've loved watching him play, and it's going to be a massive task for us, but one we're looking forward to. And as a second row myself, and I like to look at players like that, and I like to test myself against people like that, so I'll be looking forward to it, and you know, what a quality player he is.
Playing against him at Wembley too, that's going to be a big moment, I suppose, in your career.
Yeah, it definitely will be. Not just playing at Wembley, but playing against the world champions. It's going to be outstanding, so really looking forward to it. You know, hopefully test ourselves against the best.
Lovely to meet you, Liam, and we'll see you at Wembley.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Things are different today. Back in New York, I lived down on 3rd Street way back in the day. There were junkies, pimps, and whores. Hallelujah! Now it's squeaky clean, there's no place left to stay.
This is Michael Clayton from Taiketto.
And Jim Kennedy.
And you are listening to White Line Fever.
So the semi-finals of the World Cup have been decided. England are taking on New Zealand and Australia playing Fiji. 22-4 winners over Samoa in Warrington. I'm here with Petro Sivnisiva. Petro, while the game was on, I got on Google and tried to find out if any Fijian sporting team had ever played at Wembley before. Couldn't find one. It's going to be an amazing moment.
Yeah, it will be. I'm so excited for everyone back in Fiji especially. They've really shown their support. It's been amazing. And, rugby union has probably been the most dominant rugby code in Fiji for a long time. But now, league has certainly turned the corner, and just the way everyone has got behind us, means a lot to the boys.
You played on for another year after retiring from the NRL. Was it with this tournament in mind, is that the reason you played on, or did you just want to play football for another year?
Yeah, I probably just wanted to play for my local footy club. They did a lot for me as a junior coming through. I had so many great coaches there at Redcliffe that I guess, gave me an opportunity. And that's why I ended up at the Broncos. And for me to retire and then come back and play for Redcliffe was just about getting back to my old club. I still had a lot of great mates, and a lot of my family are very close to the people there at the club. So I think it was just, paying respect to what they did for me. So I thoroughly enjoyed the year. I guess to play in the World Cup has just been a bonus, and probably around halfway through the season, I was asked about whether I'd be keen to play, and physically, mentally, I felt that I could do it. So I'm just grateful that the opportunity was presented to me, and here we are going to Wembley.
It would have been tough for you, I suppose, to have watched on TV what if this had happened. Maybe it wouldn't happen without you, but for the Fijian team to walk out onto Wembley next Saturday, you must be glad that you were here and you were part of it and you played that extra season.
Yeah, most definitely. it was probably something that was always on the radar. Just being associated with the Fijian team, I knew that once I retired that I would love to have helped out in some way. But the fact that I can be on the field and help in that way has just been an absolute bonus. So just going to be a fantastic week now. I'm so excited for the boys. They're down in the sheds now, bigger smiles on their faces, and I know their friends and family back in Australia and Fiji will be very proud of what they did tonight.
Can you take just a couple more questions? Can you take us inside the camp? I mean, footy teams can always be emotional at times, but is this sort of situation and this sort of team, is it a particularly sort of emotional squad and an emotional achievement that you've had today?
I think we've got a pretty much a deeper connection than I think that I've ever experienced within a team. Devotion is always a huge part of our preparation. 7:30 every morning we're up, we have a devotion, that's something that I've never witnessed. But in terms of a rugby league team doing that, it just shows that again, there's something deeper than just walking out into a football field, and that's been a real huge part of our preparation, and I think it showed in why we're here. We're still standing, and we're off to Wembley now.
Can you win next Saturday?
Oh look, we're just going to give it our best shot, no doubt. We're not going to lie down. We're not going to be making up numbers. I think if anything, when we played Australia a few weeks ago, I think we took a lot of confidence out of that, knowing that for great parts of that match, we were in the contest. So. It's an amazing moment for all these boys. Playing against their heroes, that's what I said to them last week, and playing against the last time we played the Aussies, so this will be very much the same. But if anything, we can take some confidence again, as I said, out of what we did last time, and just have a great, enjoyable week.
Were they a little bit too quiet, a little bit too reserved last time against Australia, a little bit too in awe of their opponents? And that is the last question, by the way.
Yeah, I think so. That's you can't fault the boys for that. For years, they've grown up watching these guys on the football field, and next thing you know, they're out there tackling them. So, as I said, I think they took a lot of confidence at knowing that they can definitely get out there and compete with them. So, that's where our focus will be, about just turning up the notch a bit and making sure that we get out there and put in a fantastic 80-minute performance.
Congratulations, Petro. See you in London.
Cheers. Thank you.
Okay, that's the end of the program. I want to thank all the guests. Also, I want to tell you what the music was, because I thought it was a lot of short interviews this week, which meant we played a lot of music, more than usually. The great new song from Striper is called Sympathy. Really love that. Love that verse. Awesome, awesome. Kingdom of the Lost was from Black Star Riders, who you might better know as Thin Lizzy. Don't know why they changed their name. They sound like Thin Lizzy to me, and that's a great song and a wonderful video if you can get onto YouTube and check it out. Cherry Bomb is by De La Cruz from the Gold Coast. That's a band that's been around for a while, but I haven't really had a good listen to until the last couple of weeks. And I really like that album. I think it's called Street Level, so check that out. Also, another track from the Viva Hysteria Def Leppard live set. It's an early track. Love the current incarnation of Def Leppard doing the older hard rock tracks. I wish I'd just do one more hard rock record. There was Mirror, Mirror, Look Into My Eyes. I think Hysteria was the best and worst thing to happen to that band. I think the highlight of the whole program musically, though, was a new song from the Angels with Dave Gleason on vocals, Talk the Talk. And the album of the same title will be out on my birthday, January 17th. So if you're listening, boys, thanks for the birthday present. There was also The Answer is one of my favourite bands from Northern Ireland. Well, they're one of my favourite bands from anywhere, but they are from Northern Ireland. And that's the first song and the title track. Another title track, new album is called New Horizon. For some reason, it's available on iTunes everywhere but Australia. But if you're listening in Australia, there's no reason why you shouldn't get it eventually. Okay, moving right along. Talk to Me. That was from Reef. And it's actually a 10-year-old song. It was on the Greatest Hits set called Together. The reason I included it is because I saw them on Monday in Manchester. They played a couple of other new songs, one of which I filmed. So maybe I can sort of bootleg that and put it on next week or the week after. Finally, we've got The Ballad of the Lower East Side. And that is Michael Monroe. I think it's the third song from that album that I've played on the program. That's an indication of how good it is, Horns and Halos. And finally, the last song coming up right now is from Motorhead. And it's called Cry and Shame. It's not a Johnny Diesel and the Injectors cover. It sounds nothing like Johnny Diesel and the Injectors. Before I go, WLF Podcast is how to follow us on Twitter. And also, don't forget to come to whitelinefever.ning.com and you can sign up there and you get invitations to events and you can talk about stuff. Okay, World Cup semi-finals this weekend at Wembley, World Cup final the week after that at Old Trafford. And then White Line Fever stops being a sports show for 2 or 3 months and becomes a rock and roll show exclusively. Thanks for joining us and we'll see you some point in the next 2 weeks.
I've got a white line fever. Going around the land down under. Going to turn around the corner way down yonder. And I'm not even going to try to rhyme anymore. Michael Monroe here for White Line Fever. You get a chance, come and check us out live. We're going to rock your socks off and whatever, rock like fuck. That's what I say, okay? Come on down and rock on.